So that's just a little tidbit of Sound of Glory. Here you go, I'll give this to you. So, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I just get lost. Just get lost. I was in a meeting at Tim Stevenson's. You know Tim Stevenson in Auckland, New Zealand. Yeah, you know Tim. We were talking about Tim Stevenson. And he's got a huge church in Auckland, New Zealand. Amazing. You know, I can usually hold my Holy Ghost pretty good. But not that night. Just amazing things happen in the meeting. We stood up, and it was the first night. They just flew me in, went to the hotel, rested, got everything put away. They picked me up, brought to the meeting that night. And the house was packed, probably 700, 800 people. And the place was just packed. And the glory fell, and, you know, I fell. I just fell down, laughed. That was the end of the meeting. Fell down and laughed, just fell down and just under the power. And I make no apologies for it. None. Doesn't happen all the time. Doesn't happen. You're good. Doesn't happen all the time, but it happens. I love the presence of God. I love the glory of God. I live for the glory of God. I live for the manifest presence of God. I'm like Moses. Lord, Moses was on the mountain. You know, in Exodus chapter 33, he said, Lord, I'm not coming down off of this mountain. I'm not going to come down off of the mountain. What's going to be the distinguishing factor between us and all the other people on the face of the planet if it's not your glory, if it's not your presence? He said, I'm not coming down off of this mountain unless your presence goes with me. The manifest presence. Listen, we've got a greater covenant. We've got a greater glory. We've got a better position than what Moses and the children of Israel had. They were led out of Egypt by a physical, manifested cloud, a manifestation of the presence of God. And it was God in the cloud. It was God in the pillar of fire. God led them out through a powerful, through a mighty hand. We've got something so much greater. We've got a better covenant. We've got a better contract. We've got a better promise from God. And I'm telling you, the nations are looking for the glory of God. The nations are looking for the glory of God. We cry out in revival. And listen, and God has visited us. He's done amazing things. I've seen some of the most amazing manifestations. I don't preach manifestations. We preach the gospel. We preach the kingdom. Attesting signs follow them that believe. These attesting signs follow them that believe. I don't preach manifestations. I don't preach signs and wonders. We preach the kingdom. We preach the gospel of the kingdom. That was the message that Jesus preached. You preach everywhere you go, preach saying this, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Don't pray for the sick. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. You know, cleanse the lepers. Freely you've received the kingdom. Now freely give it away. Freely you've received the kingdom. People say, well, you should be preaching. You know, you don't need to be taken. It's not about that. It wasn't about resources. He said, freely you've received the kingdom. Now freely give the kingdom away. Manifest the kingdom everywhere that we go. And that's the key. One of my biggest jobs. Looking at me, am I scaring you? One of my biggest mandates is to get the body of Christ to see that we're supernatural. It's already been done. We are supernatural. If Christ lives in you, if Jesus Christ lives in you, you're superhuman. You're not natural. We live above, Perry. We live above the natural. We are supernatural. Every one of us have the ability to in partnership with God, manifest the miraculous. To lay our hands on the sick. It's a command. Jesus said, listen, if I cast out devils by the finger of God, then the kingdom of heaven has come to you, or the kingdom of God has come to you. People are saying, well, Jeff, you're just preaching that kingdom message. That's right. I am preaching. You're preaching that kingdom now message. That's right. It's the kingdom now. It's always been the kingdom. Before the world was here, there was the kingdom. Before the physical world was here, it was the kingdom. It's always been the kingdom. What message are you preaching? It's the kingdom. When God put Adam here in the garden, you know, it was about establishing a government, establishing a kingdom. Push back darkness. Extend the rule of my kingdom on the physical territory of planet Earth until the whole world looks like heaven. Until the physical domain of planet Earth looks like heaven on Earth. Push back darkness. God hasn't changed His mandate. He hasn't changed His mind. So we had a 6,000-year hiccup. So what? Just a 6,000-year hiccup. It's a blip on the scale of eternity. It's just a blip. Jesus came in the middle of it 2,000 years ago, and He restored, He undid what the devil did. He took back through the veil of His flesh. He went to the cross. He lived a perfect life. He destroyed sin in the flesh. And He reestablished. He gave us, the fallen sons of Adam, He restored to us the mandate of the keys and the power and the authority of the kingdom of God. And now He said, let's get on with family business. Let's get on with family business to make planet Earth look like heaven. Make planet Earth shine with the glory of God. God told Moses, when the children of Israel, the spies came back in Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 14. Remember, Moses, God told Moses to send out spies. He sent out 10 spies. Remember, they came back, the 10 spies. They had grapes so big that two men had to carry these massive grapes from the promised land, flowing with milk and honey. Grapes, massive. I mean, they had on a pole, they had massive grapes, pomegranates and grapes. They came back bringing in the fruit of the promises of God. And they, Joshua and Caleb said, yeah, look at this, Moses. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. But the other eight said, yeah, but the Nephilim are there. Here we go. We're talking about the Nephilim again. What a stupid thing. He said, the giants are there. Fortified cities. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. Joshua and Caleb said, yeah, but the Lord has given it to us. We can take it. They're of another spirit. We can take it. We can take it. We just came through the Red Sea. God just delivered us out of Egypt. He just delivered. We can take it. God is with us. They said, no, 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 no. These giants are there. These giants are there. We can't take it. We're like grasshoppers. Literally 40-foot men in stature. Not fable. True. But Joshua and Caleb were of another spirit. And they said, no, we can take them. They are bred for us. They are bred for us. The other ones were saying, they'll crush us and make us their bread. And others said, no, no, no. They are bread for us. God is with us. We can take them. And they said, nope. We're going to stone Joshua and Caleb. We're going to stone Joshua and Caleb. We're going to appoint other leaders and we're going back to Egypt. That's when the cloud showed up on the tent. God said, Moses, we're going to have a little conversation. Moses went into the tent, and all of Israel was watching. And God told Moses this. He said, Moses, these are a stubborn, stiff-necked, rebellious people. I'm going to kill them all. And I'm going to make a new nation out of you. He says, step back, son. There's going to be a big flash. There's going to be nothing but a grease spot left when I'm done with them. Moses said, Lord, don't do it. He stood in the gap. As a man, he said, God, don't do it. These are your people. Remember? These are your people. Don't do it, Lord. Don't do it for your name's sake. For your name. Listen, Moses stood as an intercessor saying, God, don't do it. Don't do this evil. Don't act this way. I know you're mad, but don't do this. What would nations say? You were able to take them out, but you weren't able to bring them in. They'll say that you're weak. Don't do it, Lord. Don't. And for your people's sake, remember that they're just flesh. Don't do it. And the Lord told Moses, Moses, I'll do it. I'll listen to you. I'll do what you say. But I swear by my own name. He said, my glory will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. He was looking for a people that he could reveal his glory to. He was looking for a people that would manifest his glory in the nations. He was looking for a people that would establish, that would push back darkness, even in the midst of a fallen position. Push back darkness, follow God, and extend the dominion of the kingdom. He was looking for a people that would be so filled with the glory. That's the heart of God. And here we are in 2014. Jesus came. Somebody thank God for that. Jesus came. He shed his blood. And he undid what the devil did. He unraveled. He undid. He loosened. He undid the damage that the devil did. And he restored the long lost title deed to the children of men. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, right here, we've got it. And he said, listen, he showed up on planet Earth. He said, this is what a real man looks like. This is what a real son looks like. This is what a real spirit-filled man. This is the way I designed man, a man completely submitted to the Father, filled with the government of heaven. Here I am. Here I am. I'm a new breed of a new type of human being called filled with the Holy Ghost. Here I am. Watch this. If I cast out devils by the finger of God, it's because the kingdom of God has come to you. Here he is. He lives in me. I'm filled with the government. I'm filled with the power. I'm filled with the glory of God. God. Jesus was the firstborn among a whole new group of people, being a brand new type of human being, a brand new breed of human being called filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm preaching basic elementary stuff. It's good stuff, but it's basic. Most of the church doesn't even know this. Most of the church is clueless. We can take nations. Oh, isn't that right, David? I'm getting all jacked up. I'm all hopped up on the Holy Ghost right now. We can take nations. Like God is looking for the Joshuas and the Calebs. Listen, they're bred for us. We can take them. There's not a demon. There's not a power. There's not a devil on planet Earth that can touch, that can come close to one drop of the power that lives in us. Bob Jones told me that years ago. He said, Jeff, he said, if you could get a revelation, this is a conference called Kingdom Revelation. He said, if you could get a revelation of who it is that lives in you, he said, if you could get a revelation of just of who it is that really lives in you, he said, you could clear out hospital wards. If you really understood, if you really believed. That's what he told me. He said, there's not a nuclear bomb on the face of the planet. There's not a nuclear warhead. There's not an atom bomb, an H-bomb, all combined together that comes close to one drop of the power that lives in you. What kind of a human being are you? We are superhuman. Supernatural. Superhuman. Resurrection power. The power that created the expanse of the ages of time, that created the universe. That power lives in us. And the world is looking for the real Jesus Christ in the face of the church. It's our responsibility to be Christ, to be Jesus Christ to the world. We are Jesus Christ. We are Jesus Christ to the world. We are his body. I wasn't going to go here, but I'm here. We are His body. We are, He is, there's one Lord, one body, one baptism, one Christ. There's one body. He has one body on planet Earth. We are Christ. We are Jesus Christ. And He's looking for the real Jesus. The world is looking for the real Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean you're God. It means you are His body. We are His body. Whew. Okay. Let's talk about that. I love David. David, I love you. You're my friend. Will you stick with me? I'll stick with you too. I love David Hogan. And I love, you know, I believe in the power of impartation. I just feel like I just need to share this right now. I've never raised the dead. I had a visitation from Jesus when I was 18 years old. I don't think I've ever shared this here. I'm going to share it right now. When I was 18, I mean, I would seek the Lord. I'm a musician. I would play before the Lord. I would take my guitar and I'd watch the sun go down. It was just me and Jesus. I'd play. I'd worship the Lord. I'd spend hours, night after night after night after night, and the presence of God would come like David. The presence, the glory of God. And I'd weep and I'd laugh and I'd worship and I'd write. When I was 18, I was about to get married. And I was in my hotel room in February in Wisconsin, cold. Right before I was getting ready to get married, just getting the hotel, or getting the apartment ready. It's just a small two-bedroom apartment. Kitchenette, dinette, small. 3 o'clock in the morning in February. I was getting married in April. February, 40 below zero, Wisconsin. I was sleeping. And I remember being awakened, Bill. Oh, I remember being awakened to waves of the glory. Just over me. Just waking. I'm 18 years old. Just saved 2 years out of the Catholic Church. Got saved in the Catholic Church, by the way. By tongue-talking, prophesying Catholics. During the charismatic renewal. Hallelujah. Shakarabashamba. Rapa boom. And I'm being waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning in a February, winter in February in Wisconsin by the glory. And I woke up, as before digital clocks, and I woke up coming out of this deep place, just the love. And I'm looking at the clock, it's 3 o'clock, and I look, and there's a light on the wall. I'm in a little bedroom. There's a light on my back wall. Did I share this with you? There's a light on my back wall. It's a small little, little dinky apartment, 8 by whatever, maybe 10 foot by 8. I'm thinking, oh, because it's a new apartment, I'm thinking, oh, the street light is shining on my back wall through the window. Problem was, there's no window in that room. And I'm waking up thinking, what is that light, shimmering light on the back wall? What is this beautiful shimmering light? And as I'm looking at it, thinking, where's that light coming from? There's not a window in my room. It turned into a rainbow. Now I'm thinking, there's a rainbow on the back wall. Where's that prism? I'm trying to think in the natural. A prism must be a light refraction through a prism. You know, 3 o'clock in the morning, love rolling over me. There's a rainbow on my back wall, you know. And as I'm thinking about what could possibly be happening, I see this hand. And it writes in cursive, I love you, Jeff. It was Jesus. Jesus was in my room. 3 o'clock in the morning. in February. And love is just, when I'm looking at the rainbow with a hand, I love you, Jeff. I'm going, am I dreaming? What's going on? And the love. And as I'm looking at my name shimmering in the rainbow turns into a television screen. And I see this massive stadium. I don't know anything about stadium ministries. I see this stadium. And there must have, it was like a football stadium. And I see, there's like a fireworks coming out of the top of the stadium. And I could hear the people cheer. Every time a fireworks would go up, psh, and say, healing in the name of Jesus. And the crowd would go, hallelujah! The crowd would explode. And glory to God! You know, streamers were coming out, and I could read them. I'm watching on this back wall in a television. It was a vision telling me something. And I'm looking at this, and I'm watching this. I don't know anything about stadium ministry. I don't know anything about it. And I'm looking at this going, what is going on? And as I'm watching this and hearing the crowd, 100,000 minimum. As I'm watching this, it's like the Lord changed the channel on the screen in the rainbow. Now I'm standing in a field. I see this field of black faces. David, there must have been, I don't know how many thousands of people, a sea of black faces. And I'm looking at this sea of black faces, and I see a stage. And I'm seeing men in suits, black faces but suits. And they're standing on the stage, and there's a sea of black people. And I notice, I see me. I don't know anything about crusade ministry. I know nothing about crusades. I know nothing about it. But I'm seeing myself standing in this vision that's telling me, this television, I'm seeing this thing happen. And I'm looking at myself. I'm recognizing that's me. And I'm looking. And I see a man laying on the stage. It's a black man. He was dead. And I watched myself. I'm 18. Saved 2 years. Filled with the Holy Ghost. I just love Jesus. That's all. You know, just play my guitar. Love Jesus. I'm watching myself on the stage. And I walked up to this man. Everybody watching. The dead man. It's like they were waiting to see what was going to happen. I walked over to this man and I straddled him, like this. And I took my finger and I pointed it down into his chest. And I said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I rebuke the spirit of death and I release the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The man got up. The man got up and the crowd went, I was watching myself raise the dead. I was watching, the Lord was showing me futuristically what was going to take place in my own personal ministry. He was showing me, and I didn't know it at the time, even though I was watching myself, I didn't understand it. I understand it now. But He was showing me. You know where it all came from? It was birthed out of intimacy. Birthed out of me and Jesus. You can't get that from theology. You can't get it from seminary. You can't get it from studying the Word. You get it from face-to-face contact. Face-to-face where the favor comes. Where the anointing comes. Where your desire meets destiny. That's where it comes from. The Lord was showing me my ministry. Now, I've not been on that stage, but I will be. It's coming. I've looked for it. I've done some crusades. Done some 80,000, done some, you know, some 80,000 in one meeting. I've done, you know, 25,000. I've done some 7,000, 10. But I've not done that. I've not seen that. But I tell you what I have done, since I've been hanging around with this man, I've seen the dead raise 6 times now. I've seen it. Since November. It's catchy. It's catchy. Tonight, we're going to lay hands on you. We're going to lay hands on you. Amazing. But I preached on Saturday night on resurrection power, resurrection life. Who it is that lives in us. We're sons and daughters of God. We have the same spirit that raised Christ from the grave. We have resurrection power living in us. I was preaching a John 11:11 word. John 11:11 is this. It was all about Lazarus. Jesus told his disciples, I must be going now. John 11:11. I must be going now. I must go awaken Lazarus from his sleep. John 11:11. And the Lord said, Jeff, I'm releasing in the nations in this season. Now is the time. I'm releasing in the nations resurrection power, resurrection life. There's a revival of dead raising that's going to take place. It's going to be the spiritually dead, but it's also going to be the physically dead. I'm going to raise the dead. It's going to be a revival of dead raising. I said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So I was preaching this to 3,000 live stream. Never seen a resurrection. Saw some that were close. Never saw a resurrection. I released that night, laid hands on everybody in the building for resurrection power, an impartation of resurrection power, resurrection life, resurrection authority. Spoke to the live stream. There were probably more, way more watching by live stream than there was in the building. In Sao Paulo, 27 million people live in the Sao Paulo, one of the largest cities in the world, Brazil. Preaching through an interpreter through Portuguese. In the morning, Sean preached at the church, and then he flew out. I preached Sunday night. The worship started Sunday night, and by the time I got up to minister, they had me step up with the interpreter. The pastor, who is Teófilo Hashi, he's got dunamis now. Dunamis Revival Ministry down there in Sao Paulo. It was his church. It was his event. I just started preaching, and I saw him come to the front, and there was a mother and a father and a little girl with him. The little girl was about 4 years old. He stopped me. He walked right up on stage. He said, sorry, but we've got to share this testimony. I said, great. And the mother came up on stage, the father. She was weeping. The dad was holding the little girl. They said, Jeff, last night when you were preaching, when you were ministering, you preached on John 11:11. The mother and the father, they were standing here, this mom and this dad and this little girl was in the hospital on life support. She'd been in the hospital for a long time on life support. Her liver was shut down, her lungs were shutting down, her vital organs were shutting down. She had been on life support for some time. They had tried all kinds of things to bring her around, but now she's in a coma on life support. In other words, you turn the machine off and she's dead. She's dead. The only thing that's keeping her alive are the machines, and she'd been that way for a while. And the doctors told her that Saturday, we cannot continue. We just can't keep going. We can't continue. We have to make a decision. I suggest... The doctors brought the mom and dad to this point. I suggest that you spend time holding your daughter tonight. Because we have to say goodbyes. We have to turn the machine off. And the mother and father, they did that. They spent the night. They were holding her. The machines were going, keeping her body alive, talking to her. No response. It had been that way for a while. But they were connected to Teófilo. And they had the computer playing the live stream in the hospital room Saturday night when I was preaching, bringing the word and releasing John 11:11. And at one time, I remember preaching and releasing resurrecting power, resurrection life. And this is what the mother was testifying. She was testifying on a Sunday night. I preached that the night before, Saturday. She said, when Jeff turned to the computer through live stream, and he released resurrection life. He released the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. He released resurrection power. She said this, light came out of the computer, touched my little girl. Immediately, this is what she said, immediately she woke up. She sat up and was ripping the tubes out of her mouth. The machines were set up. Yeah, thank the machines. The doctors ran in. What's going on? What's going on? What's going on? To their surprise, she's sitting up pulling tubes out. To their amazement, She had a brand new liver. She had brand new organs. The Spirit of Jesus touched her. They discharged her that night, and they were at the Sunday night meeting test. I held the baby. Held the baby. 100% healed. 100% restored. 100%. 100. Let's thank God for that right now. That was the first one. I'm going to tell you two others. Shortly after that, I'm in Korea ministering, and I was meeting David, Brother David, down in Argentina with, I don't know, 1,500. I don't know how many people were down there, 1,500, 2,000, I don't know. But with Apostle Martinez, Martinez? Is that this word? We laid hands on everything. Everything. We saw all kinds of miracles, all kinds of healings. It was like resurrection power, resurrection life. Every meeting, we laid hands on everybody. We were wore out. On everybody. I saw all kinds of tumors dissolve, blind eyes, deaf ears, all kinds of amazing things happen. Got a picture of a fire angel. Whoo! On film. That wasn't on stage. Fire angel standing on stage, because it was all about the raw power, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Amazing things happened. We laid hands on a little 9-year-old boy who was in the school. But we laid hands on everybody. Laid hands on a little 9-year-old boy. We laid the hands on everybody in the school. Actually, David had to fly out Sunday. They were going to pick me up and take me to the airport on Monday. He said, well, could we just swing by the school and just lay hands on our students? The problem is it's an 8,000-member church. And it was like, Jesus, Lord, help me. There's probably 600 students in the school. We went through the kindergartners all the way up to the high schoolers. By the time I was done, I was wringing wet, you know. There went my nice dry shirt for the ride home. But it's all right. Laid hands on everybody. But we laid hands on all these people anyway, all weekend long. And all I did on that Monday morning was release resurrection power, resurrection life. The same Spirit, Romans 8:11. In the name of it, it was just simply touch, 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 touch. Resurrection life, resurrection power. Bodies laying everywhere around the schools. Teachers on the floor, wiggling, shaking. You know, the whole school was in revival. It was beautiful. So we left. And because I don't have an international phone plan, by the time I got to Miami, I uploaded all of my messages, and there was one from the apostle there. He said, Jeff, give me a call. He said, give me a call when you get some time. There was a resurrection. I thought, a resurrection? And we got this message at the same time. What happened was, after I left on Monday, that night, there was one of the little boys that had hands laid on him. He was 9 years old. For whatever reason, don't know the details, but the mother put him to bed that night, on Monday night, and when she found him in the morning, he had been dead. Like practically all night long. He just, things happen. He was dead. And he had been dead at that point 7 hours. So she called Argentine 911. You know, that's going to go good. That's fast. Called Argentine 911, called the pastor, got him over there. So, you know, they were just frantic, you can imagine. Mother and father, little 9-year-old boy in bed, dead, turning cold, weeping. You can imagine the scenario. Put yourself in it. And the pastor's there. And they put him in the ambulance. He told me they got in the back of the ambulance with the mother. She's inconsolable, weeping, crying. They're in the back with the EMTs on the way to the hospital, sheet covered up. And somewhere along the line, she said, not him, she said, no. See, it's about understand. It's sometimes it's as simple as a no. Just, we're not going to do this. We're just not. She said, no. I claim in the name of Jesus the impartation, that my son and every one of us, I claim the resurrection power. I claim the impartation. I claim the resurrection. And as they were doing that, the sheep moved. Listen, that little boy was dead 9 hours, and God brought him back. He came back. He came back. 9 hours, Perry. 9 hours. We got pictures of him. I wish we could put them up on there. Got pictures of the 4-year-old. Got pictures of this 9-year-old little boy. And the text said he was from the apostle. He said, "All I can tell you right now is he was dead, but now he's alive." We'll talk later. I'm telling you. We, the one that lives in us, is amazing. We were made for glory. We were made, and the nations are looking. The nations are looking for the real Jesus Christ. They're looking for the ones who believe. They're looking for the sons and daughters of God. They're looking for God's family. Family members who have a revelation of the kingdom of God. Who have a revelation of who it is that lives in us. Jesus told Mary in John 11. Mary and both Martha, they both said something similar. They said, "Lord, if you had come when we had first called you, my brother wouldn't be dead. But even now I know that God listens to you and he'll do whatever you ask." And he said, Mary, or Martha rather, he said, "I am." He said, "My name. I am resurrection. I am resurrection. I am life." Oh, I know that he'll be resurrected, you know, in the future. On the last day, my brother will rise. He said, "You don't understand. My name, I am resurrection. Oh, I am resurrection." He lives in us. His name is Resurrection, capital R. And I'm telling you, we're going to see a revival of dead raising. Sean Bolts is moving in something amazing. Sean is actually assigned to the body of Christ. Sean had Paul Cain pray for him. I'm going to talk about this for just a minute. Sean had Paul Cain pray for him because it's about the power of impartation. When Sean was ordained the last Kansas City prophet by John Wimber. That's crazy. He was 17 years old. I've talked with Paul Cain multiple times because William Branham laid hands on Paul Cain and commissioned him when he was 17 years old. And I'll tell you how that worked. William Branham, you all know who William Branham was? William Branham was ministering in Ireland in the 50s, and he was wore out. And the angel appeared to him like he did every day and gave him word of knowledge. The angel said, "You're going to go home, you're going to rest. But when you go home, you're going to call Paulie Cain," who was 19 then. I'm sorry, no, he was 17 then. "You're going to call Paulie Cain." This is from Paul. Paul Cain told me this person to person. Because Branham told him what happened. The angel said, "You're going to go home. You're going to call Paulie Cain, who lived in Los Angeles. You're going to bring him to Grants Pass, Oregon." That's because it was one of the big revival hubs when America was in revival in the 50s. Whew. He said, "You're going to call Paulie Cain. You're going to bring him to Grants Pass, and you're going to commission him. And I'm going to move with Paul Cain, just like I moved with you." When Branham got back to the States, he called Paulie. And Paul told me this person to person. He said, "He brought me to Grants Pass. He commissioned me, laid hands on me, and immediately the angel started working with me. I would stand people up, first name, last name, street address, specific condition. Go right down the line. This is your name, your mother's name, blah, 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 blah. This is your name, blah, 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 right down the line without missing it." That's amazing. It happened when Paul Cain received an impartation from Branham when he was 17. Paul Cain commissioned Sean Bolts when he was 17 with Wimber. Revival, miracles, a new healing model. And there's something that's being released now. But it's not just for Sean. It's for many, 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 many. It's a multiple thing. And this is what Paul told me. He said, Jeff, I had a vision, a stadium vision, back in the 1950s. He said, I remember being with the Lord, and the Lord brought me into an encounter where I saw stadiums. Remember, I saw the stadium? He said there were stadiums. And he heard a CNN announcer come on the line and say, there's no bad news to announce to you tonight, but only good news, because in the stadium, there's been a resurrection. He had a stadium, a resurrection stadium vision. I spoke with Paul 3 times in the past 6 months. Last time was just a couple of weeks ago with Sean, who's at our place, and Mahesh. We spoke with Paul on the phone and talked about this very thing. He said, Jeff, you're releasing a sound. This generation is releasing a sound. He said, the fathers are going home. And he said, it's your turn now. He was saying, it's our turn now. That's what he was saying. He said, you're releasing a sound. You've broken through into a place with God where what's being released on your life is coming up into the throne, and the Lord is smelling it. And it's going to be released in resurrection power in the nations. I believe that. I believe that. I believe that there's something happening now that wasn't happening a year and a half ago. I believe that there's something happening now in America that wasn't here 2 years ago. I believe that we've had some amazing revivals in America. We've had Azusa Street. We've had the 48 outpouring, the Latter-day Rain. We've had the 50s revival when the world was being touched by numerous revivalists. We've had that revival. We had Brownsville. We had Toronto. We had Lakeland. But there's something greater happening. There's something greater coming now. Actually, we're in the beginning stages of it now. Bonnke is not going anymore to Africa. He's turned his face toward America. There's an awakening happening in America. And I've talked with leader after friend after leader, and they're all saying, now is the time. God is going to not, it's not just going to be a Toronto. It's not just going to be a Brownsville. It's not going to be just a Lakeland. It's going to be Austin. It's going to be Dallas. It's going to be, you know, San Francisco. It's going to be LA. It's going to be Chicago, Nashville, Miami. There's going to be all up and down the eastern and western seaboard and everything in between. There's going to be fires raging wherever there's faith, wherever there's people that are creating a place for the glory of God. And I hear the Lord saying again, I can hear the Lord saying again, Jeff, I swear by my own name that my glory will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. God is looking for a people who are so enamored, so filled with His glory, so close to Him that they just ooze His very life. They ooze resurrection power. And that this generation is hungry for God, and it's releasing the aroma that's rising into heaven. God is smelling it. He's smelling it. And He's going to release a revival of dead raising. A revival of dead raising. The Lord spoke one word to me tonight when I was praying this afternoon. He said, Jeff, he said, I'm going to bring to life areas that have been dead in people's lives. Promises that have been dead. Areas that have been dead. Words that have come to them that have been dead. I'm going to bring them to life. I'm going to speak the word. I'm going to speak over them. I'm going to touch. I'm going to release. And there's going to be revival. God's going to do something. And He reminded me. He reminded me of the power of impartation. You see, you say, well, how can you claim a resurrection when you weren't even there? You didn't lay your hands on the sick. Yeah, well, neither did Elisha. In 2 Kings 13. Elisha was dead. Elisha, my servant, is dead. And they buried him in a cave. He was dead. They put him in a cave. Dead Elisha in a cave. Can't move, can't talk, can't... He's dead. Somebody say he's dead. Dead Elisha in the cave. And there was men that were fighting in the region, and one of the men were killed, and they took the men and they lowered him down into the cave where Elijah had been buried. And when his dead body touched the bones of Elijah, he sprang back to life because of the deposit of resurrection power that was still emanating on his body. There was an impartation, a coming into contact with somebody that was carrying resurrection life, resurrection power. Elisha raised the dead twice. There was just, he had nothing to do with it. He was dead, but because of what was on him. I got something on me. David's got something on him. Bill's got something on him and others. But listen, tonight we're going to release on you. How many want that? We're going to release on you tonight. I want it. I want it. I want more. We're going to do that tonight. Is Darren, are you guys here? We're going to do this tonight. Bill, last time I was with you, and I'm seeing it again right now. I'm seeing it again. Last night I saw an underground river. I know the river's there. Someone told me today that it extends from here all the way up into Oklahoma. Is that right? I have no natural knowledge of that. I just saw it last night. It's an underwater aquifer. But I saw this river, and it runs, it parallels the I-35. The Lord showed me a while back, he said, from San Antonio to Duluth on the I-35, I'm going to release my glory. He said there's an Isaiah 35 revival that's going to touch all up and down the I-35. But I saw Austin. Austin is the heart of Texas. It's the government. It's the seat of government in Texas. It might not be called the heart of Texas. I'm not sure. But it's the government. It's the state capital, the seat of government in Texas. God's going to do something. I believe this is the place. I believe this is the house. I know that there are other houses, and I hope that they burn with fire too. I hope they burn with a baptism, a fresh baptism, and a fresh power, a fresh glory. I hope they do. I hope all churches do. I hope all people do. But I know it's going to happen here because you've been faithful. And it's been 30 years. It's been 30 years. When Jesus was 30 years old, in Mark chapter 1, verse 50, he stepped down into the Jordan. He'd not done one work of power. He had just turned 30. 80-30. And he went down into the waters of baptism after he argued with John. John said, "You want me to baptize you? I need your baptism. You want me to baptize you in water? I need your baptism," which was the baptism of fire. Jesus went down into the waters of baptism when he was 30. And he came up. It says that the heavens opened. And a voice and a dove came down in bodily form. That's when he was baptized. That's when he received the baptism of fire. The Holy Ghost came into him. And the voice of his Father saying, "This is my Son." Quoted that this morning. "You are my Son." That's where he was baptized. After that, he went immediately, was tested, and he came out 40 days under the power. And there had been no one like him that demonstrated, manifested the gospel with such power. I'm telling you, the world followed him. The world followed him. Thousands of people, thousands, the thousands followed. He was a revivalist. He was the world's first revivalist. Our older brother. They followed him everywhere because he had the power to heal and to change their lives. I'm talking, the disciples were so afraid that he would be crushed. They made sure that there was a boat ready for him, constantly ready because of the crowds. They were afraid that the crowds would press up against him and crush him. That's how many people there were. He fed 5,000 men, not including women and children, lunch, supernaturally. Probably 15,000. Get the scope. I'm telling you, what he did, and he said it himself, we can do greater. We can do greater. We, and he's cheering for us. He's interceding for you and for me to do better than him. Hallelujah. He's interceding for us to do better than him. The angels, all of heaven, All of the great cloud of witnesses are saying, go. Go, come on, church. Stop waiting on God. He's waiting on you. Get a revelation. Get the mandate. Be reinvigorated. Be re-enamored. Get reacquainted with the first initiative, which is the kingdom. It's time now. The world is looking for us. The world is looking for the real Jesus Christ. It's time. We are sons. This is my son. He calls you son too. I'm his son. You are his son. We are his family. It's time to get on with family business. Because there's nations. I tell you, the Muslims are really looking for God. The Hindus are looking for God. The New Agers, they're really looking for God. But they're looking for the real God. They're looking for Jesus Christ. Isaiah 2:2 says, in the latter days, the mountain of the Lord's house will become the highest of all the mountains of religion. The highest of all the other mountains. And it will completely outshadow every other hill, every other mountain. And the people will say, look, there he is. Let's go up to the mountain of the God of the house of Jacob. It really was Jesus Christ. He really is the Messiah. Let's go up to the house of the Lord that he could teach us his ways. They're looking for the Lord's house to be the highest. We are his house. We're part of an ever-increasing, ever-expanding, ever-growing kingdom. It's time. Nations are shaking. There's a quaking. Something's happening. And the Lord promised. He said, Jeff, I'm going to release a revival of awakening. A revival of dead raising. Not just in America, but in the nations. I want you to stand with me. We're going to lay hands on everybody tonight. But I want to give an opportunity right now. I want to release power in the house tonight. I just want to release power in the house tonight. Do you have a song? Go ahead. You got a song? I'd like to do just whatever you want to do, but I want to worship for just a few minutes. Can we do that? And I want to open up the altar. I'm going to open this area up. If you need a miracle, I want you to come. I just want you to stand. Just come. If you need a miracle, you need a healing, you need a breakthrough. Some of you are at a place where you need a deliverance. I want you to come. Don't let anything hold you back. Don't let shame hold you back right now. You come tonight. I don't care how long you've walked with the Lord. It doesn't matter. You come because there's an impartation. You get it by faith. You get it by stepping up and stepping in. Brother David, I want you to come. Guys, I want you to be ready. David's team, I want you guys to be ready. We're going to lay hands on everything tonight. Lay hands on everybody. We're going to worship for just a few minutes. Do you have anything, Brother David? Everything you want? Okay. Go ahead.